Welcome to Fertility Friendly Food, the podcast. My name is Stephanie Vlahakis and I'm an expert certified fertility dietitian and nutritionist and founder of The Dietologist, a multiple award-winning virtual fertility and pregnancy nutrition clinic serving thousands from around the world and, of course, the host of this pod, Fertility Friendly Food. This podcast is dedicated to all things health and nutrition in the world of fertility, reproductive health, and pregnancy. Each week, I bring you practical snack-sized episodes to help improve your lifestyle on your trying-to-conceive journey, alongside guest expert interviews to help inspire you to learn and grow whilst you grow your family. If you're a dietitian wanting to advance your practice in fertility, pregnancy, and reproductive health without giving up an entire weekend to stare at your computer at webinars, then come and join me and over 20 dietitians from around the world inside Fertility Friendly Dietitians, our clinical mentorship group combining achievable monthly live professional development sessions, an exclusive group to ask questions, and the opportunity to implement your learnings in your practice. We've had an incredible response to the group from the past 6 months, so we are opening it up again in September 2023 with an even more flexible format. More details are to come, but in the meantime, hop over to the link in the show notes and drop your name on the waitlist now to get more details, and we will be launching in September. Super excited to be expanding this particular offering and bringing even more value to the dietitian space. Now, welcome back. I am back with a bonus episode today, and this one is for my fellow dietitians, the dietitians to be, and the ones that are dreaming of a career in nutrition. I usually hop on the podcast and switch gears and discuss my career about once a year. I find it really insightful as a reflection for myself, but also I find many people will send me messages months or even years later coming across these and find them useful too. So I thought I would record another one. So on to today's episode, which is how becoming a fertility dietitian has changed my life. Sounds dramatic much. Now, I feel like some prerequisite listening to this episode is how I became a fertility dietitian. So to learn about how I ended up on this career path, I've left a link in the show notes for you to listen to that episode. Now, I want to focus on the impact that this quote-unquote job, which is really a lot more than just a job, ask anybody in the fertility and pregnancy arena, and it can completely swallow up your whole life in the best ways and sometimes some really inconvenient ways too. You are part of someone's deepest, darkest moments at the depths of their desperation and despair when they're yearning to grow their family, facing unimaginable losses, and also being with them on their highest highs, realizing their dreams of growing their families. So I wanted to talk about the impacts of becoming a fertility dietitian that it has had on me. And of course, I'm going to talk about all the beautiful positives. But if you know me, I do keep it pretty real. And I'm going to highlight some of the struggles because I do feel, particularly on Instagram and social media and just the online space in general, there is this desire to only present the good bits. Otherwise, lest you be complaining of something, because it might be somebody else's dream, but I don't think it would be fair to present a one-sided picture. Because at the end of the day, if you're contemplating this as your career, then there's certainly a lot on the line, time, money, energy invested. So you don't want to go in with one eye open and one eye shut. You want both eyes open. So here are some of the absolutely life-changing benefits of being a fertility dietitian. The first one is that being a fertility dietitian has undeniably made me much more empathetic. Naturally, most healthcare professionals you encounter are here to help you and can foster a level of empathy. And all good healthcare professionals should be able to do that. But there is something that I think is special about fertility, pregnancy losses, that really does pull on my personal heartstrings so much that it evokes a much deeper level of empathy. Despite the fact that I've never conceived before, nor have tried, I've never been pregnant or faced the devastation of a pregnancy loss. Somehow, though, I can easily put myself in my client's shoes and feel their pain, their hope, and their joy. A deeper level of empathy than what I could connect with for clients coming in to manage high cholesterol or to lose a few kilos in jobs gone past, in jobs of the past. It has made me so much more well-informed about my own health broadly, but especially my own reproductive health and fertility. And I 100% credit my career for helping me to identify my endometriosis symptoms as early as I did. It probably would have taken me many more years before putting those pieces together, or even until I was trying to conceive, if I hadn't worked in this space, if I worked in any other kind of nutrition area. I've detailed this in a couple of my Endo Journey episodes, so I'll leave those linked in the show notes for you too. But it also brought more awareness to the things that we commonly take for granted, like being able to fall pregnant when you want to. It is an assumption many of us make, spending many years carefully avoiding an unintended pregnancy to desperately wanting it at a flick of a switch, and the importance of age. I've learned there may be better or worse times to have a baby, but you almost never feel 100% ready in every single facet of your life to grow your family. You'll have to get comfortable with feeling ready enough, and that's something that has resonated with me personally. As someone in their late 20s, it is something I think about a decent amount, and I don't feel the pressure as much of societal timelines, especially now that I've frozen my eggs. I feel the biological pressure though, and thankfully I have diffused some of these, like I said, by freezing my eggs, which was something else I probably would never have done without knowing what I know from my career. Another positive impact to my own personal health journey has been the ability to advocate for myself and my needs in all aspects of my health, not just reproductive health. A skill I commonly exercise on behalf of our clients at the dietologist, like asking for tests, asking questions about other possibilities, next steps, and alternatives, and knowing when I just simply do not want to explore an option that I've tried before that hasn't worked for me just because it ticks someone else's box. And that has been really powerful for me. And I feel as though that I am no longer in a power dynamic with my healthcare team that, you know, they're this authoritative figure and I just do what they say. It actually feels like a partnership now, which I know many of my clients and our clients, the dietologists, feel after working with us, not just with us, but other healthcare providers. And it's a lifelong benefit and skill that you get. And it's something that I have gotten to experience myself, which has been phenomenal. I've also experienced deeper appreciation for understanding genetics and genetic conditions. I cannot describe to you how critical it is for every single future parent to have preconception genetic carrier screening. I have witnessed some absolute heartbreaking situations occur, pain, suffering, secondary to a lack of education in the wider community and offering and discussion of genetic carrier screening of parents prior to conception. And people just do not understand the differences between this, genetically testing embryos with IVF, and then pregnancy genetic screening. Whilst it will not prevent or save you from every single genetic condition or avoid it, it can give you a heads up on what potential risks you and your partner or donor may be looking at and come up with a plan from there. Personally, I found out that I carry the SMA gene, or the spinal muscular atrophy gene, and when it's my time to try to conceive, I will be absolutely ensuring my partner is screened as a priority. I know it's not free here yet in Australia. Will the top three genes, CF, SMA, and Fragile X, will be very soon at the end of 2023, thanks to Mackenzie's mission. But I understand that baby making and raising a kid is not cheap, but this is a cost that you will not regret paying for. So please, like, on behalf of the literally thousands of clients that I have seen, please, preconception genetic carrier screening, do not be cheap about it. Do it. The next benefit is that this job has helped me realign with my own two biggest personal values in my own life, which is family and health. And what a gift it is to help others achieve those two things that they desire. It has taught me to be more generous and to share my knowledge and skills, give back, whether that be with my time, volunteering to speak, donations, or simply connecting and answering your questions here on the podcast or on Instagram. It's also taught me to share with my colleagues too. There's 1 in 6 couples struggling with infertility. There's enough work to go around for everyone. Enhancing the profession and the care and the service that we deliver as a whole benefits everybody. Connecting with incredible people, our community, clients, colleagues, and more has been a highlight of my career to date. And I hopefully can say I have lifelong friends as a result of my career, and there's really nothing better than that. And obviously a huge impact on me is seeing the beautiful, happy and healthy kids being born to our clients. It's the stuff of dreams to see their cute little faces and to feel part of your story to achieving your dreams. Even more special is those who reconnect and trust us in helping them grow their family again and seeing their beautiful little babies turn into toddlers and big brothers and big sisters. It's just the greatest honor. I know more about physiology, embryology, and pregnancy than I could ever dreamt to, and that is coming from someone who has a complete science degree with almost a major in physiology. The growth in knowledge that I have acquired in this career is absolutely insane, and I learn new things from my clients and colleagues all the time. Nothing is ever really that boring around here. There is something to learn and something really awesome to know about or research. The people I get to work with are incredible, resilient, motivated, and some of the most patient people I have ever encountered. They share openly and honestly with us and invite us warmly into their world to support them. It's truly an honor to connect with people in this way. I won't even start talking about my team because that would be like an hour-long podcast of me like waxing and waning about how incredible they are. So I'm just going to focus on the actual clinical work, so to speak. Now, just like any occupation, any job, I'm not going to lie, there's definitely some downsides too. This is not your usual clock-in, clock-out kind of job. When people have the time to sit, think, feel the feelings, that is not restricted to 9 to 5. It's often late at night, on weekends, when there's a little bit of space and time to think after their days at work, which means people usually want and or need to contact you outside of usual hours, which means your own work-life balance quickly goes off kilter. I'm a lot better about it these days. No more 11 p.m. email flurries and Sunday nights spent knees deep in my inbox. But it's still hard when you do get Instagram DMs at all hours from around the world with this kind of built-in expectation that you're going to get back to people in a timely fashion. Another really tricky thing is dealing with people's expectations of you. I think this is the case in many healthcare profession jobs, but I feel like the stakes are just so much higher with fertility and pregnancy. You can have extremes of people expecting you to turn their fertility health around at lightning speed. Just simply give them a meal plan and Bob's your uncle, they're going to get pregnant. It's just not how it works. A really common scenario is people having their egg retrievals for IVF or transfers within days and approaching us for an appointment to change their diet, hoping it will change the outcome. Now, if you know me well, we need at least 3 to 6 months prior in an ideal world to make a significant change. This often leads to disappointment. Someone feeling rushed, usually me, and or pressured, and the expectation that we are some kind of miracle worker. None of us in this fertility space have a crystal ball. And anybody who makes you a promise of getting pregnant or is saying you've got zero chance of getting pregnant when, you know, you've got a uterus and open tubes and sperm available, is someone you probably should be very wary of and distance yourself from, because there is a lot of hope and we don't want to provide a false sense of that hope. We need to be realistic. We need to make plans. Yes, we need to have hope, but it's important not to make guarantees. There's also the people who typically don't work with us, who just don't think that what we do makes a difference. Diet, lifestyle, it's even more frustrating, to be quite honest, when it's your colleagues, when it's doctors, when it's nurses, midwives. I've even had other dietitians question me and say that what I'm doing is unethical or incorrect, or I've had people question my ability because I've never conceived before. And I will say it's better than it was when I started over 5 years ago, but it still happens a lot. There's nothing that makes you feel smaller than people not appreciating what you do for not just your work, but it's almost your life mission and the impact that you can have despite witnessing the countless results and the scientific literature to back you up. It's really hard to respond to those people in a kind, non-defensive, succinct way because you are so passionate about it. So that can be really tricky. And probably the biggest part of this job that I find the most challenging of all is the emotional toll that it has on me. I cannot tell you how many nights I've spent crying for people that I meet in 15-minute discovery calls and hearing their stories of loss and devastation, stories that some of you don't have to imagine because you've lived, and for some, you may have never even thought of the type of loss that people could face in your wildest nightmares. And I have gotten myself into some super dark headspaces. I grieve their losses with them. And some of these stories I still think about regularly, sometimes daily, sometimes weekly. And heck, some of these people never even end up even working with us. We get a lot of sensitive and personal information literally poured onto us, which we need and we are happy to do. We too are human beings, and there is a threshold that we can take. This is one of the key reasons why I don't allow myself or my team to exceed a certain amount of consulting hours per week. It's to protect them from the emotional burnout. Hearing about cancer diagnoses, pregnancy losses, stillbirths, terminations for medical reasons, years-long fertility journeys, to the nicest, kindest, sweetest people is just a lot. And it's not to minimize other people's pain, but as the person who is involved in supporting these people, it can be hard. The other thing is the frustration. I'm not going to lie. I am the type of person that can get frustrated pretty easily sometimes, from feeling undervalued within the fertility team and just in the wider fertility ecosystem, and therefore underutilized, to the constant game of dealing with rescheduling, shifting diaries, and a client's needs. It can be challenging to manage. Layer on top a hard day of emotional labor, and then someone slides into your DMs without a hello or a how are you, or can you maybe help me, or can I ask you a question, or is there somewhere you can point me to? It's just straight in with the demand. And an expectation to reply right away as unpaid work, it can really, you know, make that last straw snap. I understand this is just a normal part of running a private practice and being in this arena as a dietitian, and I'm sure many of you who are in this arena can relate, but it is true, it is hard, and I do sometimes wish that the broader community would treat us more as human beings with thresholds and capacities too. And that whilst we are here to help you, you know, outside of our clients, we don't really owe anybody anything. It sounds harsh, but it's true. You know, our boundaries, our life, our health, our emotional well-being, physical well-being is important too. And we have a responsibility to the people that pay to work with us, absolutely. But to those who don't, you know, they're not at the top of the list. And that sounds really harsh, and I'm sorry if you're one of those people listening, but it's true. And I think as well, at the end of the day, to feel valued and to move away from feeling undervalued and underutilized and feeling like, oh, sometimes I feel like I'm like, this is such a strong visual, but it's true. I feel like in those documentaries, those animal carcasses where the vultures and the birds have come to pick at you at pieces and they'll do it at any cost. And I sometimes feel like that carcass, like I've got nothing more in the tank. I've got nothing else to give, but people will come and pick your brains. And so it's so important to protect your boundaries, protect yourself, and create systems that allow you to help as many people, be generous, be kind, be giving, but not at your own expense. I won't even go into the deeper details of the pros and cons of a life as a business owner, because I could be here for the next 10 years talking about that. So, but despite some of these downsides, I don't want to leave on a downer note. This role is a lot of warm and fuzzies. Cute babies, helping people on their fertility path, look after themselves first and foremost, and I absolutely love that I get to be part of their stories. I've learned a lot, both professionally and personally, that I can apply to my own life and health journey too, and connecting with incredible people both in consult and outside has been a highlight and will be something I will always cherish. So yes, safe to say, becoming a fertility dietitian has changed my life. And definitely for the better. Now, don't forget, if you are a dietitian listening to this and you're wanting to advance your practice in fertility, pregnancy, and reproductive health without giving up an entire weekend to stare at webinars, then come and join me and over 20 dietitians from around the world inside Fertility Friendly Dietitians. Our clinical mentorship group combining achievable monthly live professional development sessions, don't worry, they're also recorded, an exclusive group to ask your questions and the opportunity to implement your learnings in your practice. We've had an incredible response to the group over the past 6 months, so we are opening it up again in September 2023 with an even more flexible format. More details are to come, but get your name on the waitlist now to get the deets in your inbox. The link is in the show notes. Thanks so much for tuning into this episode. Don't forget to subscribe or follow on your favorite podcast streaming platform and leave us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It makes such a difference to our podcast reaching more people. And don't forget to share it with your partner, friend, family member, colleague, bestie, or just to your social media, friends on your stories. Give us a tag. We would love to see it. And until next time, everyone, bye. Fertility Friendly Food, the podcast, acknowledges the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognises the continuing connections to lands, waters and community. We pay our respects to First Nation cultures and to the elders past, present and emerging, and extend that respect to all First Nations people tuning in today. This podcast is recorded on the land of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.